gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the holiday of free speech. Does that mean you don't speak freely on a holiday? Well, it depends. If it's Thanksgiving, maybe you're too busy with your family. If it's St. Patrick's Day, maybe it's the luck of the Irish. We'll be talking about how lucky the Irish are in just a second. But go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fund. It's 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719. It's Monday. We have Mark Collett, who is in proximity to Ireland. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, I've just got to correct you there. I was nowhere in Ireland or in any proximity to Ireland.
From our point of view, England is in proximity to Ireland.
What should we call those protests, though, Patrick? Should we call them fiery but mostly peaceful protests? Would that be the best thing to call them? Fiery but mostly peaceful?
Okay, so what people I've been talking to want to know, because, you know, we don't get really much coverage of it that's meaningful, and we see some videos, and some of the videos, okay, so there was a stabbing, there were protests, there were police cars burning, there was some looting, there was one of a video that I saw that was some Irish lads, and they seemed to be kind of angrily talking to an immigrant who looked like he might be participating in looting. What the heck was going on?
Well, let's work through this piece by piece, shall we? What started all of this was an Algerian migrant who went on a stabbing spree. Now, this is all too common. People like you and I will have seen this happen again and again all over Europe. Migrants come here, they go on these stabbing sprees. They attack people, they harm people, they basically commit these acts. Now, I can't say, and forgive me here, I'm not going to say this was a terrorist attack. And the reason I'm not going to say this was a terrorist attack, because I don't think it was. I don't think this was done in the name of any cause. And this is a problem. A lot of these migrants who go on these stabbing sprees or killing sprees or attack people in what seem to be, you know, random acts of violence, I don't actually think these migrants are doing it for a cause. They're not all lining up and doing this because they're part of some terror cell. Many of them do it simply because that's what they want to do. There's something wrong with these people. They're not like us. These things might happen in their home countries. It might be the way they take out stress. They might just hate white people. I don't know. But I don't believe this was an act of terrorism. This was another one of these migrants who just does something crazy like this. And it puts us all at risk. But this was a horrific case. Three children and two adults were stabbed. And one of the children who was stabbed sadly died. And the response from people in Ireland was to take to the streets of Dublin. And I'm not condoning this because things did get a little bit out of hand. But there was a fiery nature to the protests, shall we say. There was people burning down buses. There was clashes with the police. And in a very welcome turn, the crowd absolutely turned upon the press, the media. The media were there and the crowd absolutely turned on them because nobody likes the mainstream media. They hate the mainstream media. Normal people despise them. And when the media were there, when the media were sticking their beaks in, when the media were asking people, why are you doing this? They told them, get gone. We don't want you here. You're not on our side. We don't like you. You know, off your trot. And that was something that the media was shocked about. The media couldn't understand why the public can't stand them, why the public want them gone. But the public did indeed want them gone. And they were told to get packing. And get packing, they did. And later, during these scenes of disorder, another very interesting thing happened. There was some looting, but those carrying out the looting were not people who were actually of Irish descent. There were migrants who saw what was going on, and basically they began joining these riots, hoping to carry out some looting. And the locals didn't like that. The locals were appalled. The locals were like, look, this is a protest against what's happening to our young girls. How dare you? How dare you come here and start looting? How dare you come here and use this as an excuse to start stealing from shops or to enrich yourselves? And these people were shocked by this. What are you saying? You know, when things start getting burnt down, what else do you do? And I've got to say, it's one of those issues where you can see the difference between people of European descent and people of migrant descent. Because, yes, the Europeans protest may have, how can we say it, got a little fiery, but I'll say this, they weren't looting shops. They weren't doing it to enrich themselves. They were out there making a statement because of what had happened to those people, their countrymen, you know, that little girl who was stabbed. And they want to say enough is enough. And I think this is something which is, you know, despite the violence, it is good that people are rising up. It's good that people have had enough. It's good that people don't want to stand for it anymore. And it's good that people all over Europe are now starting to see that this mass immigration poses an absolute real and present existential threat to their future. And not just in terms of them being replaced, but in the way they will be treated as they are being replaced. And I've said this many times before, but replacement for us as people of European descent is not a pleasant thing. We are not being replaced by loving, kind, decent people who are replacing us and looking after us and loving us and making our lives much better as we all slowly you know, become more and more of a minority. We're being replaced by people who are nothing like us, who often do absolutely, you know, horrendous things to our people. Not all of them, but many of them do, and they pose this threat to us. And now we are seeing the chickens come home to roost, and we've seen these chickens come home to roost all over Western Europe. And now, as Ireland is becoming absolutely swamped, and you've got to remember, the Irish population, the population of the Republic of Ireland, is only about 5 million people. So, you know, we talk about, you know, these swamping numbers coming to places like Great Britain, which has a population of nearly 70 million. But when you're talking a population of nearly 5 million, it doesn't take very many people to make a significant impact on that population. So in the UK, take, for example, last year, they've just revised the immigration statistics upwards. They're saying that net immigration last year ran to about 750,000 people. Well, you know, when you've got a population of 70 million, it's still not good. You know, you've still got a, you know, a 1% rise in your population. That's obviously a significant figure year on year. But if you were talking a similar amount in Ireland, you'd be talking about 15% of the population in a single year. And Dublin and Ireland as a whole is seeing this mass replacement of their people, and they're figuring out, this is not a peaceful mass replacement. This is not a good thing for the Irish people. The Irish people are not going to be better off for this enrichment. And it is time to do something. And they are doing something.
So I tried to get news about this. And, you know, I looked at various sources and went to the Daily Stormer did have some article, not articles, some tweets or X's or whatever they're called, with a little bit of video, which Andrew Anglin could barely make heads or tails of, because, you know, there's not a whole lot of context there. And he's somebody of Irish extraction who is interested in it. I went to the Irish Times. Well, you know, I went to the international press, even like places like RT and Press TV. RT had something on it. But even then, and then I went to the Irish Times, but nowhere could I find who was actually doing the looting, right? It wasn't covered. So there's that aspect. I remember 50 years ago or so when the Irish part of Boston, South Boston, also called Southie, when they started busing in blacks from other parts of the Boston area to Southie, there were some pretty vehement protests against that. And I remember my dad seeing it on TV, watching it on the CBS Evening News, and saying, yeah, the Irish aren't going to stand for this. You know, you can do this in other places. The Irish aren't going to stand for it. And it is interesting that as much mass immigration has been taking place all over Europe, this type of approach, and not just mass immigration, but stabbings and Christmas bombings and truck bombings and all these things that have been going on in the context of mass immigration, all these crimes that have been committed by the migrants themselves, and the level of toleration for it in the rest of Europe has been high. I don't know if this is a one-off thing. Conor McGregor, who is perhaps the best-known Irishman these days, he has something to say about it. Of course, the leader of the Irish people, who is, I can't pronounce his name because it's an Indian name. It's odd, isn't it, that you've got an Indian prime minister of Great Britain, an Indian prime minister of Ireland, and you've got, is he a Pakistani first minister of Scotland, and then, of course, the mayor of London is a subcontinental. There really is. It really is replacement level. You look around. Are there any native leaders? But Conor McGregor has. What has Conor McGregor had to say about all this? He's been making news.
Well, this is the interesting thing. I don't think I've ever before seen such a notable celebrity come out and endorse a strong anti-immigration sentiment. And that is what Conor McGregor has done. Conor McGregor has come out and he has absolutely 110% said, you know, these people shouldn't be here. They need to go back. This is Ireland. They pose a significant threat to our people. The real victims here are the people who have been stabbed and fundamentally, you know, Ireland for the Irish. And that is phenomenal. You know, to see such a notable mainstream celebrity, and he is without doubt, you know, the most prominent, the most famous person to have ever competed in mixed martial arts. So this isn't some, you know, nobody. This isn't some sort of, you know, Johnny Come Lately or somebody who released a single back in 1992 and it topped the charts for 3 weeks and it was a one-hit wonder and he disappeared. This is somebody who is relevant. This is somebody who's loved.
Sinead O'Connor's not speaking out against it, I guess, then, right?
She's dead.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God. Did you know she was dead, or was that like a joke? I don't know. Sorry.
No, I guess I missed that.
Well, Sinead O'Connor is not speaking out against this because she's dead. So that's, yeah, so... Great. don't really know what to say now. So no, Sinead O'Connor is not speaking out against this, but Conor McGregor is. And Conor McGregor is basically not being cowed either. There's a lot of people trying to talk down to him. There's a lot of people saying, hey, you know, when it comes down to this, you know, you shouldn't be talking like this. See, this is scandalous. You know, this is the language of racism. And he's like, no, this is the language that we need to embrace if we're going to basically save our people. And that is really something that's incredibly, how can I say it, refreshing, because we rarely ever see people talking like this. We rarely ever see people willing to come out and, you know, discuss issues like this. But Conor McGregor has, and this is, you know, as I said, I don't think the mainstream media know what to do about it, because he is so loved and he is so respected in Ireland and he's so respected elsewhere in the world, that what can they do? You can't tell him to shut up. He's got this massive following on Twitter that used to be X. He's, you know, on there every day tweeting about it. He's mixing things up with people like Keith Woods. And he basically is very happy to say that he doesn't want any more of those people there. And not only doesn't he want any more of those people there, he'd be more than happy for those that are there to go back to where they from whence they came. And again, this is something that is largely unprecedented. This is something we do not see every day. This is something that, when it does happen, it seems like once in a blue moon, and it's always with somebody who's much less prominent than Conor McGregor. So, you know, I welcome this. This is for me, you know, a wondrous thing. It's a wondrous time. And he should be congratulated for coming out and saying such things. And people should be getting behind him. I mean, really, you know, we don't often see such a meteoric shift in the Overton window, you know, all at the same time, especially not with somebody of his sort of presence and worth at the front of it. And I think we're seeing now huge changes all over Europe. You know, this isn't just about Ireland, obviously. I mean, the issue that we're talking about, the stabbings, is about Ireland. But we've also seen, you know, similar horrific attacks all over Europe. Last week, we saw the Geert Wilders winning their national elections in Holland, which is, again, he stood on an anti-immigrant platform. Now, I will put a caveat there. I've done quite a lengthy post today explaining why I'm not 100% enthusiastic about Geert Wilders and what prospects he has for making change in Holland. I don't believe he will make change, but that's another issue.
We can talk a little bit about him later. Do you think he'll actually become prime minister?
I don't know, but I'm not sure that he will make any actual meaningful changes. And the reason we can go into that later if you wish, but I do have sort of reasons for thinking that. And, you know, when it comes down to it, I do think, though, there is a massive positive that for that many people to vote for him, that is in itself, whether he makes the changes or not, that is in itself a massive positive. And I think we are seeing these positives all over Europe now. This isn't just something that's confined to Ireland. This isn't something that we're just seeing in one country. We've seen it in Italy. We've seen it in France. We've seen it in Spain. We've seen it in Germany. We haven't really seen it in the UK. The UK seems to be sort of an anomaly. But we are seeing it all over the world. I mean, we've seen it with Trump.
You did see Brexit 15 or in 2016, which
yeah.
Was...
But what I'm saying is, we haven't seen the same sort of they call them populist parties sort of emerging and sweeping, you know, the sort of mainstream parties to one side. That is something we haven't seen here in the UK yet, and I think there's several very interesting reasons as to why we haven't seen that here in the UK as of yet, but that doesn't mean it won't come. But I do think what we've seen in Ireland this weekend is and not only what we've seen in Ireland, but what we've seen from the likes of Conor McGregor is a massive sea change. It's something that we rarely see, if we've ever seen before, that kind of response from white people coupled with actual, you know, mainstream celebrity backing. That is something that is, you know, fundamentally unheard of. And I think we're seeing these changes. And I think we'll see other people come out and support that kind of thing. We saw celebrity backings for, you know, truth seekers during COVID. But on the issue of immigration, it is a little bit more rare. But we are starting to see it now. And it is certainly an interesting turn up for the books, but the establishment in Ireland has reacted rather furiously.
When Irish eyes are smiling, sure it's like a morning spring, with a lilt of Irish laughter, you can hear angels sing. when I...
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafine, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom, illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Issue of immigration, it is a little bit more rare, but we are starting to see it now, and it is certainly an interesting turn up for the books. But the establishment in Ireland has reacted rather furiously.
And so why is it that the establishment in Ireland has a half Indian prime minister who's gay?
I don't know. Well, I do know. What they're trying to do all over Europe is put people in charge of European countries who are not of European descent. And they love putting in people who have, you know, weird sexual quirks or, you know, not the norm. That is something they absolutely love to do. And I think it's almost sort of, if you like, an exercise in humiliation, if you like, an exercise in, you know, humiliating European people, telling the Europeans, well, hey, you're not even in charge of your own country anymore. And we have seen this, you know, all over the British Isles, which is the interesting thing. We have seen people, you know, take power in Ireland, in Scotland, in Great Britain. And that is something that is, as I say, happening across the board. Now, in Ireland, it is slightly different because he was elected. However, in Scotland, Humza Yousaf was not elected, and here in in Great Britain as a whole, we have seen the Rishi Sunak regime, which again is an unelected prime minister. It is not a regime that was voted in by people. Now, you could argue you've got the same in London, but I would argue with London that is slightly different, and it's slightly different because London is a city which has been completely transformed. So London is obviously ruled over by Sadiq Khan, and that's something people always make a big deal of. But Sadiq Khan, I hate to say this, is actually more representative of London than Rishi Sunak is of Britain as a whole. And that is because London is a city where white Britons are already a minority. You know, white Britons only make up 37% of the population in London. And 37% of the population is not a, for an indigenous people, is not a lot of people, is it? That is something that we've been vastly, vastly reduced in London. So you can understand why people would vote for a man like Sadiq Khan, because he's their boy, isn't he? He is their boy. And fundamentally, they are going to vote for people who are like them. And that is something that we've seen, time and time again. We have seen, these people, they will vote for others who are like them, and they will ensure that they vote for people who represent them on an ethnic, religious, or racial level, or who aren't part of the indigenous people. I should imagine that other minority groups in the capital voted for Khan because they felt he was an outsider like them, and that's the problem. When you have somebody like Sadiq Khan standing for an election, he isn't just standing on a platform. Like, white people tend to stand on a platform of policy, whereas somebody like Khan will stand on, this platform implicitly that they are an outsider, and that other outsiders like them, should vote for them to increase outsider representation. I think that absolutely is a real thing in cities like London. But taking Ireland, Scotland, and Great Britain as a whole, to have their three premiers all being people who have ethnic, cultural, and racial ties to the Indian subcontinent is not only unprecedented, but it shows that there is a major push underway to ensure that replacement is not just from the bottom up, but it is also from the top down.
Indeed. Okay, so I had mentioned Sinead O'Connor because you had said something about, one-hit wonders. I know her name, and I remember her face because she shaved her head, and I don't know any of her music, so that's kind of what provoked that. But there are other prominent Irish people, and I think of the lead singer Bono from U2. Does he even live in Ireland anymore? I mean, Conor McGregor actually lives and trains in Ireland. Are there no other prominent Irish people who are standing up and saying enough is enough?
Look, I think if Bono, whatever Bono does, I don't want Bono to support the anti-immigration side, because he is someone now who is just generally so disliked, so despised by everyone. He's very much a laughing stock. I don't think it would serve the anti-immigration cause to actually have him on board with it. He is somebody that has
the pipes are calling. From glen to glen and down the mountain side, the summer's gone and all the roses falling. It's you must go and I must buy.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Sleep in peace until you come to me.
So despised by everyone, he's very much a laughingstock. I don't think it would serve the anti-immigration cause to actually, you know, have him on board with it. He's somebody that has, you know, he was made a fool of, you know, by South Park, other. You know, people generally, you know, think of him as a pompous, out of touch ass. And I don't know what he thinks, but if I was to hazard a guess about what he thinks, I would say that he would be very much on side with the migrants. Absolutely on side with the migrants. He would not be on side with the white people of Ireland. In fact, he would. And the media was very quick. This is another thing. The media was very quick to brand the issue of this stabbing as far right disinformation. I mean, obviously it's not far right disinformation. It's absolutely true. It, you know, it really did happen. And, you know, a young girl really did die. And the media are desperately trying to tell people, no, that's all far right disinformation. You know, you can't listen to this stuff. Well, that's not true in the slightest. You know, this girl did die. It is a tragic, tragic case. And absolutely, you know, there is, you know, a situation here where these people pose a serious threat to us. The other big call was that it was a mental health issue. You know, we shouldn't really be getting angry because this is about mental health. This is about the mental health of the migrant who went on this stabbing spree. You know, we should be looking about how we deal with mental health in a more compassionate way rather than playing the blame game. You know, that was another thing that I saw washing around. And they're the kind of sentiments I would expect from somebody like Bono. I would expect him to be following that kind of thought process. But the interesting thing about this is normal people aren't following this thought process. Normal people are absolutely appalled by what is going on. And I would say that what we're actually seeing here is a situation where people have just had enough to such a degree that they are willing to go out on the streets and actually riot. And I think the interesting thing with Ireland is Ireland is not a multicultural country. You might say, well, neither is you know, Great Britain. No, it's not. But Great Britain has had a long history post-Second World War of mass immigration. So London didn't just become non-white overnight. It wasn't something that just happened. It didn't just, you know, we didn't just wake up at the end of the 1980s and we're like, oh my gosh, this is awfully black. You know, it is something that the powers that be have done to London over a sustained period of time. But that isn't really the case in Ireland. What's happened in Ireland? They always say it takes time to boil the frog, but in Ireland, they have boiled that frog very quickly. It hasn't been like in London, where this has been post 1945 to almost 2024, where you've seen these huge changes. It has been, and obviously they are huge changes, but if they happen over a longer period of time, people sort of accept them to a greater degree. However, that isn't the case with what we've seen in Ireland. What we have seen in Ireland is a situation where this has basically happened almost overnight. Almost overnight, you have seen this incredible change from, what was obviously and very clearly a monocultural society to this situation where not only is it not monocultural anymore, but in fact, it's become incredibly multicultural in a short period of time. And obviously, in the UK, a lot of things were done to ensure that migrants were accepted more. So, you know, there's the migrant football players, and you've got your black footballers, your black celebrities, etc. That hasn't been done in Ireland. So this just appears to the Irish to be something that has happened literally overnight, and they are seeing all of the negatives without the things that white Britons have been told are positives. So here in Britain, we've been told, oh, well, you know, look, they play football and they do takeaways and they drive taxis. And, you know, there has been some degree of integration, but that simply has not happened in Ireland. There hasn't been time for any of that to happen. And as such, people are now absolutely speaking out against it, you know, in the strongest possible terms.
Mm. So when the Eastern Bloc fell apart, you started getting Polish migration kind of in all directions. And I remember once looking at demographic data from the most obscure parts, most obscure locations I could, like Iceland or the Faroe Islands, or even Svalbard, which is these islands in the Arctic Ocean that are belong to Norway. And everywhere I looked, there were Poles who had gone there. There had been some, and the Poles were disruptive enough, but the Poles are, you know, European, and they're Catholic, Roman Catholic, which is something in Ireland. They're disruptive enough. But what's going on now, you're getting all these Nigerians, for instance. People have zero connection, zero cultural connection, as alien as possible, and they're coming in large numbers. And, and one thing, it's not as if they're exclusively Nigerians, but I guess people are coming from random countries. And one thing that when I was trying to find out, you know, confirm the migrant origin of the the stabber and also the migrant, possible migrant origins of the looters. I couldn't find anything on that, but it was very easy. It was being very prominently reported that one of the people who subdued the mysterious stabber was himself a migrant, a Foodaroo driver. I guess that's like Uber Eats or something, a Foodaroo driver from Brazil who hit the stabber in the head with his helmet. And he's being touted as a hero. And see, if it wasn't for migrants, nobody would have intervened in this stabbing. I'm sure you're familiar with what I'm talking about.
Yes. It's the usual media spin that, in fact, the real hero of all this is, of course, a migrant. The real hero of this is, of course, all a migrant.
In this case, from Brazil.
Yeah.
So a white guy from Brazil.
Yeah. You know, we can't. Whenever something happens, a migrant has to be the hero. That's just the rules of the game. Them's the rules, as they say. You know, anything else, is not the rules. And a migrant always has to be the hero. And what we're seeing here is exactly that. Obviously, any sane person would be looking at this and be saying to themselves, look, what's happened here is a direct result of mass immigration into Ireland. This is something that is a huge, huge threat to the Irish people, both in terms of their overall replacement, but also in terms of the threat that those replacing the Irish actually pose to Irish people, you know, on a day-to-day basis. But instead of that, we are now deep into the propaganda of, well, how can we make this a win for the migrants? You know, how are the migrants making life better? Oh, well, it was a migrant hero. But they're not calling the stabber a migrant. They're leaving that out. And I've noticed this, and it's one of those things that absolutely, as you can imagine, just disgusts me. But no one's falling for it. That's the thing. As I said, the press were being chased away. People were being very threatening towards those in the media who were turning up and trying to interview people, because fundamentally, people do now know that the media are not going to give the indigenous people of Europe a fair shake. If something like this happens, the media is only there to run the story that they want to run. And the story that they want to run is that it's all the fault of the far right. It's all the fault of racism. The migrants are the heroes, and those that stand up against mass immigration are the monsters. And that's not just being run by the media. That's also being run by the police, the judiciary, and the Irish Premier, Leo Varadkar. He has come out, and his response to all this is not, well, we need to start looking at immigration. We need to start controlling our borders. His response to all this has been absolutely clear that fundamentally what needs to happen is there needs to be new laws brought in very, very quickly, as swiftly as possible, that will change what Irish people are allowed to say in relation to immigration. So his response is basically to silence the people of Ireland. His response is to stop the people of Ireland from speaking freely about these occurrences. Mm. And we've seen that elsewhere in Europe.
Didn't he say that the Irish government is too white? Did you hear that?
I'm not sure. But I would liken all this to the sinking of the Titanic. Imagine the Titanic is going down and somebody's running around saying, look, there's a huge amount of water coming in. We've got real problems here, guys. The ship is sinking. We need to either stop the water coming in and bail it out, or, you know, we need to get people onto the lifeboats. And the captain of the ship says, right, we need new laws to shut these people up who are talking about the ship going down. What? Well, that's exactly what they're doing in Ireland. The ship is sinking. The Irish people are facing this existential threat. They're facing this daily violence. You've got children being stabbed to death on the streets by knife-wielding migrants. And the response of the Irish government is, we need to arrest and prosecute anyone who is speaking out against these knife-wielding migrants, because these knife-wielding migrants are the future of Ireland. They're part of our diverse multicultural society, and we need to embrace them. We need to help them. We need to be understanding of their needs. And obviously, the media are running, as you would expect, you know, they're running the propaganda. The media are running, you know, the propaganda in all of this. So,
and then, just regarding the media, so everybody knows, in, for instance, in the United States, the ethnic background of the people who run the New York Times or NBC News or whatever doesn't quite match up exactly with the ethnic background of the United States in general. Is there something similar going on in Ireland?
Well, firstly, I don't know. So there may well be. But I also don't think it matters. And you might say, well, why doesn't it matter, Mark? We regularly talk about who runs the media, et cetera, et cetera. And it doesn't matter because the media is co-opted by a certain group of people from the top down. And those at the top then set the precedent across the board. So wherever you look in the Western world, the media runs these same stories. And the Irish media is in lockstep with the rest of the world media. And it might sound like a, you know, a dismissive response, but that is just the case. Mm-hmm. The sort of people that go into journalism and the sort of people who get selected to produce these stories always have the same political takes on things. And I think that's because now, obviously, the die has been cast. And not only is the die being cast, but we are in a situation where the media, it becomes self-selecting, doesn't it? So if you want to go and work in the media, you would naturally be of a certain persuasion. Like, I wouldn't want to go and work in the media. Why wouldn't I want to go and work in the media? Is it because I don't like the truth? Is it because I hate, you know, writing articles? Is it because I don't like that kind of work? No, I like writing articles. In fact, you know, somebody said to me, well, you know, would you like to sit and write articles all day? Yeah, I actually would. I actually would. That would be something I would enjoy doing. But the fact of the matter is this. I would never, ever look to go and work in the mainstream media because I naturally wouldn't even consider working within organizations or structures that were naturally anti-white. These things then become self-selecting. And I think that's what's happened all over the world. And I'm not sure what the ethnicity is of the Irish journalists who were chased away. But I would imagine many of them are, you know, dyed in the wool, left-wing or left-leaning or liberal, you know, Irish men and women who have gone through institutions that have also been captured and that you know, that teach white people to hate themselves, teach white people white guilt, teach white people this sort of these poisonous liberal values, so that when they go into certain professions like the media, they will naturally take up a role that institution has prepared them for. And I think you see this all over the Western world. And I obviously I understand that, you know, Zionists and Jews run the vast majority of the media. I'm not saying they don't. I'm not making excuses for anyone either. But what I am saying is there has been this massive capture of institutions all over the Western world to ensure that anybody who works their way through those institutions and then gets jobs in these particular places will sing from the right hymn sheet, so to speak. And obviously that has had a powerful effect. And in the case of Ireland, the response from these people, and they do look Irish, by the way, some of the journalists that I've seen, you know, on the ground there, they do look Irish. There's a certain look to being Irish as well. So, well, you know, there is.
But of course, we're also talking about ownership. But
oh, no, we are talking about ownership. I mean, as I said, I can imagine that those who own the media in Ireland are very much the same group of people. But what I'm saying is the Irish journalists on the ground who got shooed away, I believe, were more likely to have been people who have moved through those Western institutions, which have now all been co-opted and were, you know, ideologically opposed to any white people surviving, which is an odd thing when you think about it, especially for Ireland. This is an odd thing, because what you always have to remember with Ireland is the Irish spent the best part of a century fighting the British for their independence, fighting for their right to self-rule, for an island for the Irish, run and governed by the Irish. And they fought hard for that. Many people struggled. Many people died. And eventually, they have their country. They have their country under Irish rule, and they got rid of the British. But what have they replaced the British with? People who are undoubtedly far less like the Irish than the British. Now, I'm not saying the British and the Irish.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Oh, my wine, Irish rose, the dearest flower that grows, and someday for my sake, she may let me take the bloom from my wine. Oh,
what have they replaced the British with? People who are undoubtedly far less like the Irish than the British. Now, I'm not saying the British and the Irish are identical by any means. They are different people. But I believe they have far more in common. They are ethnic, you know, they are ethnic cousins, whereas the people who now are in charge of Ireland and the people who are now coming to Ireland and are taking Ireland over and have an increased say in the running of Ireland and controlling the lives of Irish people, those people have far less in common with the indigenous Irish people than the British ever did. And that's the irony, really, that the Irish fought so hard for this independence and freedom from the British, only to now hand their country away to people who have absolutely nothing in common with them.
Okay, so we only have 2 or 3 minutes left. Should people just, if they're curious about Geert Wilders, should they just look at your Odyssey channel, or do you have a...
It's just a short comment. I'm very happy that Wilders got elected, because it shows... that people are finally waking up, that people are finally voting outside of the mainstream and punishing the mainstream political parties. But what I said was this, and I'll just read out my comment. I said, I'm not particularly excited about Geert Wilders, and it's for good reason. Every time we see one of these pro-Zionist, anti-immigration populists come to power, they do so on a legitimate wave of public anger and resentment that has built up over time due to the establishment's positions on a number of different issues. These issues include, but are not limited to, mass immigration, the Islamification of towns and cities, the transgender issue, and in general terms, what the public would describe as woke policymaking. Yet when one of these pro-Zionist populists come to power, we always seem to witness the same story play out. Despite their numerous pledges to stop mass immigration, they immediately change their tune and a new narrative emerges. This new narrative is that the problem surrounding migration is one of illegal immigration, and that must stop. That legal immigration is in fact a positive force for good and enriches the host nation. This is not what the public wants. The public wants immigration numbers to be reduced drastically, but stopping illegal immigration whilst at the same time supporting legal immigration does not do this at all. All European nations have a far higher rate of legal migration than illegal migration, sometimes by a factor as high as between 20 and 40 times. Stopping illegal immigration is all well and good, but that is usually the equivalent of reducing total immigration figures by a mere 5%, which ultimately does nothing more than slow the process of white replacement by an incremental level, which is, in the grand scheme of things, meaningless.
Yeah. I was on the David Duke call-in show that Dave Gahari hosts on Free Speech Radio, Speak Free Radio, and we had somebody call in and ask about Geert Wilders. And I said, minus the emphasis on legal versus illegal immigration, I said virtually the exact same thing. So I guess we see pretty much eye to eye on that.
Well, look, I'll just give you a little factoid. Last year, Britain took around 50,000 illegal migrants. At the same time, we handed 800,000 visas to people from Africa and the Indian subcontinent. So that's not even all the migrants we took legally. We handed 800,000 work permits to people from Africa and the Indian subcontinent. Once you're talking that scale of numbers, does the 50,000 really even matter? Because if you said to me, would I rather take the 50,000 illegal immigrants or the 800,000 we took from Africa and India and or the Indian subcontinent, I'd rather take the 50,000 illegals because it's a smaller number.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us, Mark.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's always a pleasure. Please check out my Odyssey, my BitChute, my Rumble, and all my other places, and I'll see you same time next week.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Beagle Radio.
They see the waltz with the strawberry blonde and the band.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shioji literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shioji has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.